Once again, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to Evangel Tabernacle. If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 down to 30. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to verse 30. Right, shall we read Matthew 13, verse 24? Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" I know that this parable of Jesus is one of the most popular or common parables. But in this chapter, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives no less than 8 parables. Means there are 8 parables in this chapter alone. And in these earthly stories with heavenly meanings, Jesus speaks about God's plan of salvation, the work of Satan or the enemy, the fickle nature of the human heart, and the greatness of the kingdom of heaven. After Jesus had finished telling the first 4 parables, the disciples came to him to ask him a question. They did not ask about the sower, the soils, or the seed. They did not ask about the mustard seed or the leaven. When they asked Jesus to explain a parable, they asked him to explain the one that is the focus of our attention this morning, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Sometimes I will use the word wheat, or sometimes I will use the word tares, and sometimes I will use the word weeds, okay? Either weeds or tares. Jesus gives his disciples and us the identities of those involved in this story. The sower is Christ, and we know that. The good seed is the gospel of grace. The one who sowed the tares or the weeds is the devil. The weeds are those who are saved. The weeds are those who are unsaved but have the appearance of salvation. They are those in the church who looked saved, who act saved, who sound saved, but who are deceived about their salvation. They are those who expect to go to heaven when they die, but may not. This morning, let us examine this parable using Jesus' own explanation of it and notice some reasons why this parable he told that day caught the attention of the disciples. I learned from the Bible school that when it is a parable, it is a story. Jesus had his own explanation regarding the parable. So this morning, the title of my sharing is "The Wheat and the Weeds." The Wheat and the Weeds. From this parable alone, we can get 3 lessons, 3 very important lessons or reminder or points. And what are they? Number 1, planted together. Number 2, processed together. And number 3, progressed together. And number three, processed together. So a farmer plants a wheat field. He uses good seed and plants the crop expecting a good harvest. However, while he and his servants slept, his enemy entered his field, not another field, but entered this man's field and planted tares or weeds among the wheat. What are tares? Basically, tares are weeds that go by the name bearded darnel. It's a darnel, bearded darnel. In the early stages of its development, this bearded darnel looks exactly like wheat. It is only when the plant has matured and the kernels have formed in the head of the genuine wheat plant that the two plants can be told one from the other. Only when it has grown mature, then you can identify whether it is a bearded darnel or a wheat. The bottom line is this. The wheat has its fruit in its head, while the head of the tares is filled with little black seeds. So the field looks good. The farmer is getting excited about harvesting a bumper crop. It seems that there is more wheat growing than he expected. However, as the harvest grew nearer, it became apparent that there were tares among the wheat. There were weeds among the wheat. The servants discovered the tares and came to tell the master about the problem. They were able to tell the difference now because as the wheat develops and the kernel grows inside the head of the wheat plant, the weight of the kernels causes the wheat stalk to bend, making the head appear to be bowing toward the earth. The tares, on the other hand, have light heads and they continue to stand straight and tall. The servants see the problem and offer to pull up the tares, but the master, knowing the roots of the tares have intertwined with those of the wheat, forbids them. He knows that if the tares are pulled up, much wheat will also be uprooted along with the tares. So his counsel was, let them grow until the harvest. And then when harvest comes, I will send the reapers and they will bind the tares first and burn them. But the wheat, they will put them in my barn. So the first lesson that we can see here from the parable of the wheat and the weeds is that they are planted together. That is in verse 24 to verse 25. The wheat and the weeds were planted together. They shared the common experience of having been planted. The difference in the experience is revealed in two important ways. There are just two differences. They are planted the same, planted together, but there are two differences. In number one, the character of the seed. When we look at the seed, and when we look at the wheat, and when we look at the weeds, there is a difference in their character. The wheat seed produced wheat, while the weeds produced tares. On a spiritual level, the seed is that thing that we have placed our faith in. Seed, which is the word. For the genuine believer, the seed is the gospel of grace. The truly born again person is trusting Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. The tares, on the other hand, may be trusting in any number of emotional, spiritual, or physical experiences for their salvation. That means The tares are those people who trust on their emotional, spiritual, and physical experiences for their salvation and not in Christ alone. So it all comes down to where we have placed our faith. Where did you place your faith? What are you trusting in for your salvation? You know, some people might say they have emotional experience when they came or attended a revival service, when they attended the church service, and so they came to the altar and cried so much. They had that emotional experience. They even trembled. They even fell down. But we need to understand that salvation only comes to a heart that has been convicted of sin and after genuine repentance has taken place. So those emotional experiences cannot bring salvation. You may have cried at the altar many times, but when you don't have the relationship and you have not repented of your sins, you are not saved. John 6:44 tells us, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." The question that must be answered today is this: where is your faith? On what do you base your hope of heaven on? It must be in the gospel, that is, in the death and resurrection of and Christ's atoning work at Calvary. Or your faith is in vain. If your faith is not on the death and resurrection of Jesus, and your faith is not on the death and resurrection or the atoning work of Jesus at Calvary, your faith will be in vain. So make sure your faith is in the right one. Let us make sure that our faith is in the right person. And the second difference is in the character of the sower. Let's take a look at the character of the sower. The good seed was sown by the owner of the field. The tares were sown by his enemy. And why did the enemy do this? It was an effort to ruin the crop, and ultimately, it was an attack upon the farmer. The enemy who sowed seeds into the farmer's field was an enemy intending to destroy the field and to attack the farmer. The enemy is in the business of sowing tares among the Lord's wheat. Until today, the enemy is still doing it because the enemy knows that if he can place enough of the artificial among the genuine, he can devastate the entire crop. Satan is in the business of undoing all that the Lord is doing. If he can fill the church with evil and erring or errant members, hell will be filled with a multitude of deceived people. If he can mix enough goats in among the sheep, then he can disrupt the harmony and the blessedness of the church. Whenever there is a church trouble, you can almost set on this: there is someone involved somewhere. Like when our department is in trouble, there must be someone involved. Someone unclean, someone committing sin involved in that department. Satan knows that enough lost people in the church will give the church a bad name. He knows that enough sinning people in the church will give the church a bad name. Why? Because the sinners can only imitate the saved for so long. Then their true nature, like that of the tares, one day will come out. I was reading this article. He said, "Sometimes we are in a hurry to promote leaders. We are in a hurry to find leaders and appoint them. But the article says, don't appoint them. Test their faithfulness. Test their genuineness. Because you know why? When you put the wrong leaders there, it's very difficult to remove them. You put the wrong leader in a position, it's very difficult to remove him or her. So study, observe, check the faithfulness. Check the faithfulness. We do not need to base our hope of heaven on some experience or the other. Okay? That means those experiences may not be needed for us to go to heaven. You need to be sure beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have truly trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. So, both the wheat and the weeds are planted together. It may not be nice to say that, but this could be true. There are wheat and there are weeds, maybe, in this church. There are wheat and weeds, maybe, in this church. Second point, they progressed together. So they were not just planted together, but they progressed together. Both seeds grew together. It means they have the same activity. The same activity. Doing the same thing. I hope you will not be angry with me. I hope that you will just open your heart and check yourself. Because the message is not to judge us, but to let us see our condition. But there is always hope in the end. There is always hope. So as the wheat grew, so the weeds grew alongside them. Dungan sila tubo. They did everything the wheat did. And they looked good doing it. It means the wheat and the tares can just work together. They join together. And they look good to be together. Saved people grow in the Lord. If you stay in church, stay in the Bible, read the Bible, and stay in prayer, you pray, then you are going to grow and prosper in the things of God. However, it is possible also for the sinning church member to go along in the things of the Lord. They can go along. They can even join the Bible study. They can join the picnic. They can join whatever the members are doing. They can sit under preaching where the truths of the Bible are explained and made clear. They can certainly understand the Bible. Oh, they know the Bible. They can understand the Bible. I don't know if I have told you, when I was in Libertad Antique, I was sharing the gospel to this man. I told him the gospel and he said, Pastor, I have a question but nobody can answer. So I asked him, what is your question? And he doesn't want to say. He said, I have a question and nobody can answer, therefore I don't want to believe anymore. Actually, he was a pastor's son. He was a pastor's son, pastor's kid, married and lived in Libertad. And it's like what I just shared right now. There are people who knows the Word of God. When I ask him about scripture verse, he could memorize. Okay, he could memorize. They can memorize. And they know the Bible stories. They can possess all the activities of the genuine believer. Weeds in the church may sing in the choir. Weeds in the church may serve as leaders and they can attend meetings faithfully. Weeds in the church can preach even. But just because they have all the activity of the wheat does not mean they are real. Because you cannot really identify them. They grow together. The same activity, the same appearance. So they're doing things together, and then they look the same appearance. Not only do the weeds grow alongside the wheat, they also look just like the wheat. Until they have matured completely, they are impossible to tell one from the other. You will only know them when they are already matured, when they are about to be harvested. That's the way things are in the church. It is sometimes difficult to tell the difference between the genuine and the artificial. Though, as leaders, we can sense. Personally, I can sense when there is something wrong with a member, but I cannot pinpoint what is wrong. I cannot say what is wrong. Exactly, I cannot say, but I can feel there is something wrong. Okay? The weeds in the church, they dress right, they talk right, they walk right, they give every appearance of being right or righteous. Quite dangerous, am I right? Very dangerous. There are weeds among the tares. And sometimes you really have to be careful to the person you talk to. Because sometimes that person, he or she may look like mature, but his or her counsel is so wrong. You ask them for advice, and their advice is wrong. Unbiblical advice. I don't know where they get that statement from, but it's unbiblical. So it's really, we can say, is she or he a tare among the wheat? Is he or she a weed among the wheat? And thirdly, okay, so the same activity, the same appearance, but let us see, none of the abundance. They are never the same in the abundance. So the weeds act like wheat, and they look like wheat. But this is where the similarities end. One thing the weeds cannot produce is fruit. They may grow together, but they cannot produce fruit. If you were to open the head of a wheat plant, try to open ang head sang wheat plant, you would find it filled with wheat kernels. If you open the head of the weeds or the tares, you will find it filled with tiny black seeds. So one thing the tare could never produce was fruit, lasting fruit. They will not last. So it is weeds. It is with weeds in the church. They give all the external appearances of being the real deal. They look like the real deal. Doshana, doshagid. They look right, they act right, they talk right, they walk right. But when you get right down to it, there is no fruit in their life. What do you mean by fruit? The weeds will lack the things that make the genuine believer so special. They will lack the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to verse 23. They may be able to counterfeit it for a while, but eventually their true nature will be sin. So I will not be surprised, let us not be surprised, that this person who has been, he looked so faithful and suddenly disappeared. Suddenly you find sin coming out. Because maybe that person is a tare, is a weed among the wheat. It is interesting to note the response of the farmer when he asked about the removal of the weeds. Or the response of the farmer himself, the owner himself. His counsel was to allow them to grow together until the harvest. Let us wait until the harvest. Let us wait until the judgment. Judging between the real and the false is God's job. When you come to the church, you have sinned. We will not judge you. Okay? We will always give you a chance. But later on, when God judges you, you are finished. So when you have the chance, you have the grace of God, you come. This church is open to you, whoever you are. There is grace. But after you experience the grace of God, do something about it. Do something about your life. You cannot remain sinful because you have experienced God's grace. If you feel that today you are like that wheat, well, there will be hope for you. There will be hope for you. I'm not saying that as the tear becomes wheat, literally. But my point here is God is the one who will judge. All we can see here is the outward appearance. But God is able to look upon your heart. The Bible tells us, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You see, the wheat and tares, they are planted together. And they can even grow together. And the third point is, they are processed together. Processed together. Eventually, the day of harvest arrived. The reapers were sent into the field to gather the tares first, and then the wheat. How could they tell the difference now? It is easy at this stage, because as the wheat matures, I told you earlier, the wheat becomes filled with kernels, and the weight of the kernels, because of the weight of the kernels, the stalk of the wheat plant will bend toward the ground. The seeds in the head of the tare are light, so the tare grows tall. The picture here is plain and clear. As a genuine believer grows in the Lord, he tends to become more humble before the presence of God. That's how you know whether a person or a believer is a wheat or a tare. Later on, a wheat or a genuine believer is a humble person. He is a humble person. No matter how much he has attained, no matter how high he has been promoted, but he remains on the ground. He is humble. That's why the believers are compared to the wheat. True believers are compared to the wheat. Because as the wheat matures, it bends and bends and bends. As he is being blessed, he bends and bends and bends. He becomes humble. The weeds, on the other hand, will stand in his pride, clinging tightly to his false beliefs and even foolishness. When harvest time came, they were both gathered, but they had different ends. They were both gathered, but they had different ends. The tares, the Bible tells us, were burned. These plants were bound together, allowed to dry, and were used much like kindling. They were fit for nothing but to be burned. They say that this bearded kernel is even dangerous. If accidentally eaten, they cause nausea and dizziness. See, that's how dangerous these tares are. They will cause confusion. They can even kill someone spiritually. And the wheat was burned. The tares were burned. The wheat was burned. Put into the barn, gathered and put into the barn. The wheat was gathered and taken into the barn. Here in this barn, it would be processed for human consumption. And may even be sold for a profit by the farmer. The farmer kept the wheat, but had no use for the weeds. The implications here are very clear. When this life has run its course, there are only two possible destinations for the human soul. Every person who lives and dies as a weed will find themselves cast into the fires of hell to be eternally separated from the presence of God. 2 Thessalonians tell us, chapter 1, verse 8 to verse 9, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The genuine believer, on the other hand, can look forward to heaven to be gathered into the Lord's house. Jesus said this in John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be, or there you may be also. But the question is, which will it be for you? It all depends on whether you are a weed or a wheat. Brothers and sisters, examine yourself carefully this morning. Do not allow yourself to be deceived. I will close. As we try to bring all of these thoughts together, I would like to close with something of a warning to all of us here. That includes myself. I want to ask you this question. How are tares made? Where do they come from? How do they get into the church? As we know, it is the work of the enemy. But there are some things that we all need to beware of. To be aware, also aware of, as we walk through life. Number one, beware or be aware of good works. What do I mean by that? Good works is not a substitute for salvation. You may be doing well, you may be serving well, but good works is not a substitute for salvation. Often the weeds are the best performers. Yes, the weeds are best in performance. They can perform so well, but they are not saved. They are busy and active in the church, but they are sinning or they are erring. Let us not allow any ministry or job in the church or something that we thought can save us send us to hell. So good works is not a substitute for salvation. Secondly, be aware or beware of good beliefs. There is a real danger in coming to a church like this one, because we are preaching the word of God here. The danger is that we tell the truth, and that so much truth is preached and taught that it is easy to learn the doctrines and to believe the right things while never actually believing in the right person. What I want to tell you is this. You may have heard the gospel preached in this church, but for so long until today, you have not really believed in the right person, and that is Jesus Christ. Maybe you only believe on Him, but Jesus is not your Lord at all. You never obeyed Him. You can believe the Bible and every word in it and still can go to hell. You don't believe me? Tell me a verse that the devil does not know. The devil knows the Bible. He knows the Bible more than us. Tell me a scripture that the devil does not know. James 2:19 tells us, the devil believes and trembles, yet they are not saved. You can believe in the blood. You can believe in the resurrection. You can memorize the Apostles' Creed. You can believe in the virgin birth and every other fundamental doctrine of the faith, and still die lost. They cannot help you until you come to Jesus as a lost sinner and repent of your sins. When we say repent, it's not just asking for forgiveness. Repentance means turning away from sin. So you come to Jesus as a lost sinner asking for forgiveness. And aside from asking for forgiveness, you have to turn away from your sins. Some of us need to do that this morning. You have grown up under sound Bible preaching, but you have never been born again. You have never been brought under the Holy Ghost conviction and repented of your sins. Yes, you believe right, but you have never acted on those beliefs and been saved. We thank God for Evangel Tabernacle. I thank God for Evangel Tabernacle, but ETAB cannot save me. Even if I serve here in ETAB, if Jesus is not my Lord and my Savior, if I have not repented of my sin, I will still be lost. I believe that this message is a warning to not one, to all of us here. Let us check ourselves. Are we the wheat? Are we the tares? And number three, beware of good feelings. Beware of good feelings. Sometimes we have emotional services. Yeah? Sometimes in the altar, we really cried. We become so emotional. There are some intense feelings during the service. It is easy to feel emotional and maybe cry a little and even give a testimony and tell about the time you were afraid and you went to the altar and you had an experience the same as other believers. Yeah, you can tell people, oh, I experienced the altar call. I experienced, trembling at the altar. I experienced crying at the altar. You just need to know that those emotional feelings cannot save your soul. I like good feelings, but I am not counting on them to get me to heaven. Because I know I am saved whether I like it or not, because I trust Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. What about you? Are you the wheat or are you the weeds? The Apostle Paul commanded the Corinthians this: examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine ourselves. Are we living right? Are we living like the called ones of God? And the Apostle Peter also told his readers in 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Peter told us to make our calling and election sure. The wheat will be gathered in God's barn, but the weeds will be burned. But the good news for us today is that Jesus, the good seed, who is the Word in the beginning, became the weed. Only criminals were crucified on the cross. Jesus died like a criminal. So he became the weed for us. And he was burned by the heat of his suffering. Burned by the heat of his suffering and death on the cross. So that the smoke of his sacrifice became a sweet offering to God that made us all acceptable. The wheat and the tares. Jesus became the tares for us to make us all acceptable to God. And the resurrection power of Jesus is so wonderful. It can transform us. Maybe you are not living right today. Maybe you feel that you ask yourself, am I that tear? Am I giving problem? I want to tell you that today, God can still transform you if you allow Him. If not, you will continue to be a tear, a weed in this church. But God is offering you transformation, and only His resurrection power can transform us. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If He can turn the water into wine, if He could heal the sick, if He could raise the dead, and if Jesus could be the risen Christ, He can change a man by the power of the Holy Spirit. But are you willing to change? Not even though Jesus died to save man, but not all men will be saved, because not all are willing to be saved. Today, let us ask ourselves, are you the wheat? Am I the wheat? Have I become a blessing? If not, then ask the Lord to change us. Ask the Lord to change us. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us change. I'm not just talking about sin, but even situations in your life that only God can change. Only God can help us. Only God can help you. He can do it if you surrender to Him today.